Well, now, if I were to ask you to name some of the key dates in the Christian calendar, you would probably say Christmas Day, Good Friday and Easter Sunday. You might mention Palm Sunday. Hopefully you would remember that next Sunday is Pentecost. But one day that often gets missed out, especially by those of us from less liturgically formal traditions, is last Thursday. Anyone know what last Thursday was? Ascension. I said, oh, you all know it. You're way ahead of me. All right, yeah. Well, Ascension Day, the day 40 days after the resurrection when Jesus ascended to heaven. Let me read from the beginning of Acts. This is Acts chapter 1 and verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" They're still on about this. They can't get this out of their heads. They're desperate for him to be an earthly Messiah, an earthly king. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So despite the fact that we tend not to make a big deal of ascension in this church, it was actually a hugely important event. Hugely important. Without the ascension, says Robert Ramsey, Easter is incomplete, Pentecost is impeded, and the second coming is impossible. See, Christianity is not just the news that Jesus died and then was alive again. If that was the end of the story, you'd have to ask, what then? Where is he now? Is he someplace in heaven? Is he hovering in some space reserved for disembodied souls? If Jesus is not enthroned on the right hand of God the Father, he does not reign. And we have no king. But we are here today to worship Jesus as our king. We've been constantly referring in our songs, in that psalm that we had at the beginning, to God being enthroned on high, to worship Jesus as our king. So let's not forget about ascension. But having said all that, we're not actually going to talk about ascension today. Because Ascension Day was last Thursday. Nor are we going to be talking about Pentecost today, because as important an event as that was, a hugely important event, that's next Sunday. What I want us to think about today is today, the time in between those two things, this 10-day period that we're in the middle of right now. we're going to do things slightly differently this morning, because instead of listening to me preaching, we're going to spend more time simply listening to God's word. And we're going to be meditating on it and praying as we do so. I'm going to read a series of passages in a minute, short passages. And between those passages, there are going to be periods of silence. And I'd like to invite you simply to use those silences to chew over what you've heard, to listen for what God is saying. And if appropriate, to respond to him. But try to spend more time listening for God than speaking to him. So last week I asked at the beginning I asked you to imagine that you were one of the disciples trying to process all that had happened in the last 3 years, and in particular all that had happened over the last few weeks around Easter. I'd like you to do the same again today. Imagine that you are one of those disciples. You've had a final conversation with Jesus. You've watched him somehow be taken into heaven in front of your eyes. You stood there staring with your mouth hanging open, looking up into the sky, when suddenly these two angels appear and tell you to stop hanging around. And so you've gone back to Jerusalem, and you're waiting there, just as he told you to. But what are you waiting for? How long did he expect you to wait? How will you know when to stop? And as you wait, and as you pray, your mind keeps drifting back to some of the things that you've seen over the last 3 years. As I read these passages, you might find it helpful to just keep your eyes closed. You might find it helpful to look at the pictures that come up on the screen. Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Simon Peter fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." while Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." "Very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him.'" On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." While he was eating with them, Jesus gave the apostles this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so they waited and they prayed. And Father, just as those disciples did, we do too. Just as they longed to know what it was that they were waiting for, what plans you had for them, what gift you had, so we too long to know what it is that you plan for us. We're nervous, but we're excited. We know that you have a plan for your people in this place, in Peebles. Father, as we wait, would you get us ready? And then would you use us to glorify your name? We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.